1, 2, 1, 2. Testing.
Did you ever talk to her? Did you ever talk to her?
Don't think it's not in the middle, no?
Get that done.
What? No? Constance Markovic.
I know she was in Cork jail.
Oh, because of the 1916 Rising.
She was in the 16 Rising.
Yeah.
And after that she was in Cork jail, a prisoner in Cork jail, and I used to take over her lunch every day to her. She was allowed because she was a countess. She was allowed to have her lunch sent in to her. And I used to take over her lunch, cook her lunch, and take it over every day to her. And then I used to go in and visit her in the Cork jail.
Why don't you tell him more about the 1916?
More books. The last books I had in it, I gave to Duran. I had a lot of small magazine
right.
things,
yeah.
which were very handy. Something in school she wanted to know. Barry came in one day for dates. And I couldn't remember the dates, and I picked up this little magazine I had, and I said, give her that, she might be able to see. She took it into school. The nuns wanted to know where she got the information.
Right.
And the nun wanted to read it, and when she was finished reading, Sister So-and-so wanted to read it, and I never got the book back.
Yeah. But tell Colum in your own words.
What does he want to know about?
About the 1916
rising. On the Easter Monday 1916.
Yes.
The rising took place. First, previous to that, in September 1915, there was a march passed in Limerick of all the troops around County Limerick, Tipperary, all came into Limerick, and Tom Clark, whose statue was down on the bridge, himself, and Sean McDermott, who was shot in the rising afterwards, came to Limerick, and they had a march past, sort of a judging of the number, the crowd of people from around the country who would be taking part in the rising. And they were both shot in 1916. They were both members of the rising in 1916. Cork didn't take part in it because of the, how do I describe this now, from Dublin. They cancelled at the last moment. I have it there in some book on it. I have the 1916 Rising book, which I will give you.
Lovely. Put in your own words just to tell them off.
De Valera didn't want the rising to take place on Easter Monday. There was a division in in Dublin at that time, and Collins, they wanted to go ahead.
Michael Collins.
They wanted the rising to go ahead, and at the last minute, they decided to go ahead. That's why Cork were waiting to be notified. They sent. They had no transport that time.
Right.
There were no cars or anything. The road, anything down. They went anywhere. They had to go on bicycles.
Oh.
And somebody cycled from Dublin to Limerick and from Limerick to Cork, cancelling the rising.
Mm-hmm.
And they were done unknown to who was there. That Owen McNeill, I think it was. There, and then the rising took place. Pearson then decided to go ahead with the rising, and the Cork people and the county were notified in time. So it was only Dublin. The rising was in held in Dublin. One of the reasons why the other counties didn't take part at that time.
But didn't you know Matthew Collins as well?
Or did, yes.
Right. Yeah. Tell Colum about Matthew Collins.
Oh, Matthew Collins, Matthew Collins' sister lived near us at home, and he used to go up and down to them there, as you know. And we knew him that time as Mr. White. We were growing up like he and how pals were all coming in and out the house, and nobody knew. For a long time, I didn't know who Matthew Collins was myself, even though he used to be. Calling, messages from my uncle, messages to come. Mr. White would meet you such a time, and Mr. White. But we only knew Mr. White that time.
And was yours a safe house?
Hmm?
Was yours a safe house for him?
You were.
Mm-hmm.
In the same house.
No, a safe house. A safe house is what they call it.
Oh, we weren't a safe house at all.
No.
We would raid it every night of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I don't know the safe houses. I don't even know where my uncle used to stay. Because he was never at home when we'd have a raid.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I suspected that I kind of had suspicion, not at the time, but long after when I thought about it, we had a sergeant of the RIC who lived about from here now, we say, to the shop below,
mm-hmm.
away from us. We had RIC men living around us, nearer, but he was the sergeant. And I always have a nice feeling that he was the one who used to tip him off.
Mm-hmm.
I only think that because he was never at home when we had a raid.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd be raided sometimes twice a night. We could be, crowd would go. The only thing in time, we were never raided by the Black and Tans. We had that luck. We were never raided by the Black and Tans. And second next door to us, there was a man living who had been in the army, and he had been out in the 1914 war.
Mm-hmm.
And he was wounded, and he was sent home. He was living at home. And one night, there was a crowd of soldiers and Black and Tans, and they brought him outside the door to shoot. They thought it was our host, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And his children, he had young children, they were inside screaming. And we could hear it in our house now,
mm-hmm.
two houses away from us. At 12 o'clock at night, you know, you could hear. And children crying, don't shoot my daddy, type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lot of ex-army people living around us, but they were all, the Barrys were somebody who didn't want to interfere with, but they were all neighbours,
right.
And one woman put her head out the window that night and she said, let that man alone, he's after coming home from the war where he should be.
Mm-hmm.
They said she saved his life. Because they brought him outside the door to shoot. But they thought he was the Bauhaus.
Mm.
We were second next door.
Mm.
It was Bauhaus they thought it was.
Mm.
But Ty was never at home when they called.
Yeah, tell Colin about Ty Barry as well. Because he was very interested. Ty Barry. Talk about Ty.
I have papers there all right, which I can...
Yeah, we'll get them later.
He was my uncle.
He was, your mother's brother.
He's my mother's brother.
Right.
Yeah, he was the one that sent us to school when my mother died and my father died, because he took care of us.
And he was in the army?
He was a journalist and he used to write the papers.
Right.
And he was a member of the volunteers. The volunteer hall was in Shear Street,
mm-hmm.
in Cork, not far from where we lived.
Mm-hmm.
And they had their Shear house there. And I remember the days the rising, it was only yesterday. Mm-hmm. I was
mm-hmm.
about 14, I was 13 or 14 years old around that time.
Mm-hmm.
And as a birthday gift, we were going to a picnic on Easter Monday. With no school, of course, Easter
mm-hmm.
Monday.
This is yourself and your two brothers?
Yes.
Yourself and your two brothers?
Myself, no, and the children, girl next door, a couple of the little girls who were at school with me. And our picnic, of course, was always maybe a bottle of lemonade
mm-hmm.
and a packet of biscuits. Oh, we look, but that was a very big birthday. To say, if we had a small birthday, we only got a bottle of milk maybe, or any bread and butter or bread and jam or something
mm-hmm.
like that. Those, you didn't get those things in those days at all. But we went to where Forte is now, where they have their Forte Park. There's a little island, it's called. On the way to Cove, and you used to get the train, used to be fourpence to go down by train. It was all special for birthdays,
mm-hmm.
and we were going on Easter Monday. And I can still remember them. My uncle saying, I had two uncles, and one was an Indian party invalid, saying, do you think we ought to let her go? Do you think it's a We just ate to say, you know, this was going over, but it was going over my head too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all I was afraid that I wasn't going to be let go, but I didn't know why.
Mm-hmm.
And they eventually decided, yes, we could go, and I could go on my picnic. And we went down by train to Little Island, When we came back, I suppose, about 5, 6 o'clock maybe. The evenings were bright. They were all seemed to be bright that time. And when I came home, my uncle was there in the house. Not usually, usually. And I was sent over with a revolver strapped on wrongly to Shear Street, to the volunteer hall. There was a caretaker and his wife. The family lived in there, basically. And I remember going over by the Mercy Hospital. You had to press by the Mercy Hospital, and there was always 2 policemen, always on duty there. Shaking in my shoes, the handiest revolver, had this revolver given over to somebody in Shear Street, and to ask them, was there any news from Dublin?
Oh.
And that was my longest memory of the uprising.
But what happened to Tyke after that?
He was in jail, in Cork jail for a long time. He used to write seditious. He used to write for the volunteers and the whole stuff. The army was all that. He was in the Cork jail, and that's on the Western Road, you know, next door to where Michael used to live.
Right.
And we used to go up there and stand by the lamppost was across the road and wave to him up in the window in the Cork jail. We'd do that every Sunday, and he'd be waiting for that. There was part of his, you know, to see that we were there. And then he got off. Then he was let out unconditionally. Just one Sunday, he was let out. Told, go home, get your clothes, go home. He was there about, I suppose he must have been there about a year. I can't remember the whole long, but it was a long time for us anyway. And then he was arrested again. And he was sent to Ballykinlow camp, up in the north. And on the early in November, the treaty was being signed at that time, and the negotiations were going on in England. And they started to allow the prisoners home on a fortnight's leave, a parole sort of thing. While they were still negotiating the arising. And when one crowd would come back, they'd let another crowd go. So his friend, I can't think of his name, somebody from Dublin, was going on holiday, was going on parole. And when he came back, Tyke was going on parole. So they weren't going to meet again. You know, they didn't meet each other. They never met who was coming back. Well, one crowd went, but they didn't meet the people who came back at all. And they used to go down to the barbed wire to wave to the ones that were going. Mm. And there was an upturned bucket or something, a box or something, and he stood up in the box. He was left-handed. Mm-hmm. He stood up in the box to wave to them. And he was standing like that, waving. And the sentry boy, he was 18 years of age, in the sentry box, shot him one shot through the heart, in the midst of his friends.
And do you remember that?
What?
Do you remember that time?
Of course, I was old.
Yeah.
That I was old.
What
I was
year was this?
1921. 10 days before the treaty was signed, he was shot. He was shot on the 21st of November, and the treaty was signed on the 10th of December. Mm. It was on. It was nearly a breakthrough at that time. There was talk that they wouldn't. The treaty wouldn't be signed.
Not at all, yeah.
And the British were trying to make out that time that he was trying to escape, but that was quashed completely. Mm. We never were given as much as one shilling compensation for that. The British Army at the time would have given a lump sum, but being loyal Irish citizens, we weren't allowed to take any money from the British Army at the time. But when it came to the turn of the century, and when the Irish were doing it, they were forgotten completely.
Right. Right. So, after that then, what happened to Danny and, what was your other brother's name? Dad Eddie. They were both in the army, were they?
They were both, yeah.
Right.
When the treaty came then, it was signed by Mike Collins,
right,
and De Valera, and of course that was the split. De Valera didn't want the treaty to be signed. Mike Collins knew there were no guns in the country.
Right.
There was Did you see, they was on there recently in the television.
Right, Colin didn't see
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that was on.
Yeah.
Them treating. Colin had to go and sign the treaty. He knew he was going to sign the death warrant because he knew they weren't going to get any more. Lloyd George said it was open war if the treaty wasn't signed. And there was no guns in the country. They were very low in everything.
Right.
And he knew that. They wouldn't get any more. They went back a second time. They were told to go back again. And they went back a second time. See, could they get more, whatever they were looking for at the time. And there was nothing more coming. The north was in it at the time. They had six counties. That was the problem that time. But they weren't going to hand over the six counties. But if they didn't sign, it was open war. And there was no guns, and nothing. They had no way of open war in this country. More bloodshed. And Colin signed it. That was the break of the treaty. That's when it broke. Then, Mikey Collins, of course it was split then between the two counties. Mikey Collins came to Cork to give the platform. He was speaking to the people of Cork why he signed the treaty. And there was a big gathering, very big gathering, in the Grand Parade in Cork on that day. And he was starting the army. They were opening up. They had no army, but were opening, starting an army. And Eddie and Danny, one was for De Aguilera, the other was for the treaty. One wasn't there, and they'd fight over breakfast. They fought over tea. That day, the two of them went up to the platform and signed with Mikey Collins. That day, I went up to the platform with the. I had an album. And I would talk to Michael Collins, and I asked him to sign my autograph book. And he was, there were crowds around, he was hunting in his pocket for a pen, and he said, look, Molly, I'll take it. They were staying in the Imperial Hotel, and I'll leave it in the office for you, and you can call and collect it.
And did you?
Never got my
book. Never got it.
Never got it.
Mm. What that is.
And that would be worth a fortune.
It would indeed, yeah.
Mm. Because De Valera's had all their autographs in it.
Mm.
And just when he started opening it, he said, look, and they were shouting on him. He put it into his pocket just like that. He said, I'll do it, and I'll leave it in the office. And I went to the Imperial Hotel. It was dumped.
Somebody had taken it.
Somebody in this country had that out of that book, and it's worth the fortune.
Mm.
And that was that time I was speaking to Michael Collins.
Right, and how long afterwards was he shot?
About
in
a year.
In the block.
That was in August.
Mm.
It was only a few months because the treaty was signed in November, in December, and he was recruiting for the army the day he came to Cork.
Mm-hmm. Would you tell us about the first time you came to Limerick? Remember you told the story there about some chosen man.
That was before the rising.
Right.
That was on the September before the rising, 1915. I came.
This is not.
They were all coming to Limerick. The march path. They were coming to judge how many people would be in the army, how many they'd have in the to do for the rising. And they're coming in from Tipperary and coming in from all around the country, and they had sort of a march past in town.
Were there vehicles there now in the cars?
Tom Clark was down for that, and Sean McDermott were down for that. And they brought me, because my mother wasn't long dead at the time, and my brothers and my uncles were coming up for this march past. And they brought me along, and I still don't know who they were, some girl picked me up down under just where the statue is, right down there, the steps there. Tom Clark was there, John McDermott, and I was introduced. My uncle was there. They shook hands with me, and child.
Yeah.
And that was that. I was collected there, and I was taken out to Gary O, I think it was
right.
The Gary O.
Mm.
Somewhere out there on the little small houses. But when they brought me back in the evening to go home, to get the train to go home, all up around Davis Street and all along there was lined with women and men with English flags, waving flags and throwing bottles and throwing bricks at the volunteers as they were going into the station. They had to bring me back. And it was done on the railway lines whoever was the signalman up there, allowed them to bring me down through the railway lines onto the platform, and the volunteers were coming in with blood streaming over where they were stuck with bricks and bottles. That was from the Limerick at that time. I was never in Limerick after, until I came to live here, and the house was half built when I came up here. And the only thing that then he kept saying, I know you're something that's got something, you go to see something that you like when you go to Limerick.
Mm-hmm. But you never know, you wouldn't.
The first thing I saw was Tom Clark's statue. Right underneath that statue was where I met him. There are not many people in.
No, indeed. But tell Colin about the suffragettes. The suffragettes. Did you know anything about the suffragettes?
They were the women.
Yes.
Who were looking for the vote.
Yeah.
I didn't know much about them.
Yeah. And before you were in Cumann na mBan, is it? Cumann na mBan. Tell him about that.
They were part of them. They used to go to the meetings and take messages for the volunteers and learned Irish and, you know, that kind of thing. Now, some of them they had shops in town. The Wallaces now, they had a shop in at the back of St. Augustine's Church. There's a little back entrance to St. Augustine's Church there. Mm. And they had, it's a little narrow laneway, they had a little paper shop across the road from that, just across from
that.
Yeah. It wouldn't be the width of the room now, the whole thing. And the volunteers used to meet there, and today they're to read all their messages. Nobody took any notice of this little old paper shop. There were two elderly ladies living in it. They did more for this country than anybody ever knew. Because they took the light in their hand every day. And I don't know, they didn't. One of them was delicate. She died sometime after that.
Very interesting.
I don't know that any good to you or
not. Yes, you had to ask.
Our teacher said that in the 1916 rising, only three got away. De Valera got away, and Countess Markievicz got away, and so did some other guy. I don't know, I think his first name was Cahill.
Cahill Brua. Cahill Brua.
The signing of the treaty was in November 1921. It was signed in December. What date was it?
1921.
What? 1921. 1921 is Thai's anniversary on the 21st of November. The talking for the treaty was going on the 21st, and it was signed on the 10th of December, 1921. Hmm. Had you those dates?
Yeah.
No.
Well, but the six, who were the six what? Signatures? Six people.
Who were the six?
No, that's the proclamation.
Who were they? Do you know the names of the people that were... how many of them did you meet?
That signed the treaty.
How many of them did you meet?
Didn't agree?
No, how many of them did you meet?
How many did I meet?
Yeah.
Well, I met De Valera.
Right. And you met... Yeah.
I met Arthur Griffith.
Right.
I met...
Michael Collins.
De Valera, Tom Clark.
Right.
Sean McDermott, he was shot.
Gorgeous.
He was gorgeous. And I was only 13 years of his life. Would you believe it? He had the most beautiful eyes I think I ever saw in any. With long black lashes. I can still remember quite easily. Mm-hmm. He was lame. And he was shot for the treason. Mm-hmm. He was shot.
That's my dear. You knew Michael Collins, of course.
And Countess Markovitz. Right. Pierce Beasley.
Right.
Who else did I meet? We used to go to Ballingarry for Irish then. On our holidays. There was a house out there, McSweeney's farmhouse. They had a big loft, a hay loft, outside the house. And their beds were all up there. The men used to sleep up there. All that crowd just came down from Dublin and stayed there. I'd say a lot of the things were planned out there too.
Oh, yes. Was there anything else coming? No, that's about it.
the book.
Yeah.
But I'll give you the book on the rising.
Yeah.
You can take it out with you.
Yeah.
And Tide belonged to them. He belongs to the Workers' Party. I often think, though, that, you know, and it belonged to the...
Labour Party.
The Labour Party. He used
union.
To work for them. He was one of the organisers of the Labour Party.
The Transport Union.
Hmm?
The Transport Union.
Transport Union, yes.
Hmm. And did he and Tide never got married, no?
No.
No. And had he brothers and sisters? Hmm. Oh, yes. Tide's sister was your mother.
My mother was the only sister.
Right.
Only
and had he brothers?
He had a brother in Africa.
Right.
And Paddy, a younger brother, who was lame.
Oh, yeah.
Who never kind of good mixed up. And
yeah.
He'd do the writing for them and he used to do the back book, you know. But mm-hmm. That's all was there. And my mother. My mother was the only sister they had.
Right. Right. Mm.